the Shabbos is Parsha Shlach, and the end of Parsha Shlach, we have all the dinim of tzitzis. The Gemara has in Menachos Perek Hatchelus a machlokes beshamay besilul. How many strings do you tie in the corner of each beged? So besilul are of the opinion that tie three long strings. Fold them half, it comes out to be six. According to beshamay, you tie, you put in four long strings. You fold in half, turns out to be eight. And this is one of the six cases, but we pass on like beshamay and all the many disputes in the Gemara. So Tosfos in Sukkah Gimel Amud Aleph quotes from the Siddur Rav Amram Goen that there are six cases where we pass them like Beishamai. That's in addition to the Yud Ches Dov at the end of the first parak of Masechus Shabbos and Mishnayis. Mishnah says that there were 18 issues where the Beishamai outvoted the Beisilo. They were the majority that one day, and the Beis Medrash, they were the majority. And then the next day when the rest of the Beisilo came back, they sided with the Beishamai. So those 18 cases is not really such a big exception to the rule, because Beis Hillel ultimately agreed with the Beis Shammai. But the six cases is a machlek is Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So the Gemara in Bava Basra, in the beginning of Perek HaMeches HaSfina, has a whole agadah about Rabbi Bar Bachana. He went on a guided tour. He had Hahu Taya, he had an Arab, Poshab Shata Taya is an Arab, who was giving him a guided tour in the Midbar, showing him the different sites that there are to see. And he shows him the Mesa Midbar, the Jews who died in the 40 years when they were traveling in the Midbar in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rabbi Bar Bachana is telling us over in the Beis Medrash that the Arab gave them a guided tour. So the other Chachamim in the Beis Medrash ask Rabbi, you saw the Mesa Midbar, did you go check to see how many strings they had on their on the beged of tzitzis? Did they have like Bisilul or like Beishamai? Did they have six strings at the end? Did they have eight strings? So he said it didn't occur to him to check. So they said to him, what an idiot, what a fool. He had an opportunity to find out what's the truth. How many chutim did they have in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? And you didn't try. So I remember Rab Soloveitchik, the Soloveitchik family in Eretz Yisrael, also Soloveitchik family in America, their version of the story runs as follows. In the late 1800s, there was a Radzina Rebbe. Radzina Rebbe was a big Talmud Chacham. He's the one who put out the Gemara on Seder Taras. He took all the Mishnais and Taras. We don't have any Gemara on Taras. So he took all the Gemaras all over Shas, where the Gemara talks about Mishnais and Taras, and he put it all together. And he wrote an invitation Gemara, put together all the Gemaras that exist on Seder Taras. And on every page, no one should think that it's really a Gemara from the Talmud Bavli. So when he printed it, they had tainus. It looks as if it's Talmud Bavli. So he insisted that on every page, he should put on top of the page, Seder Taras. So they'll know that he put it together. Okay. So this great Talmud Chacham, the Radzina Rebbe, felt that the Ribbono Shel Olam is only going to make a geula for us. He's only going to build a Beis HaMikdash if we demonstrate that we're interested. All we do is we daven musaf and we say every day, Ratz Mavanecha, should we build a Beis HaMikdash, bring a Kabbonis? We have to do something to demonstrate that they really mean it. So he felt that the big dekuna have to have trelis. And if you don't have trelis, just like tzitzis needs trelis, big dekuna have to have trelis also. And even though by tzitzis there's a machloekes satanaim, whether the trelis is me'akev or not, and generally accepted opinion is that trelis is not me'akev, so for so many centuries, we have been fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis shalo b'shlei musa, only with the love and without the trelis. But in the big dekuna, the assumption is that all the tanaim agree. There's no machloekes, all the tanaim agree that the trelis is me'akev. So it's not going to help. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to make us a Beis HaMikdash today. We don't have big dekuna. And without big dekuna, the Kohanim can't do the Avodah, because the Tchelus is Ma'akev in the big dekuna. So he heard that there was a big aquarium in Italy, and he traveled specially. He lived in Poland, in Radzin. He went specially to Italy in order to visit this aquarium and to see what are this, the Tchelus Aspidavka from Chilozin. If you have the Tchelus and the Tzitzis, has to be from Trilos. And Tveris Yisrael on Mishnayos in the beginning of Seder Moed has a whole kuntras on Big Dekuna. he thinks, based on the Yukim and Rambam, he thinks that for Big Dekuna, as long as it's the right color, even if it doesn't come from Chiloz. And it's not everybody agrees to that. So that's this. The Radzina Rebbe wanted to know. He wanted to ascertain what is the chilozen, and we'll start using it for tzitzis. And when the Beis Hamikdash will be built, we'll be prepared to make big dekuna with that tchelus. So he especially traveled to Italy, and he decided what he thinks. They showed him all the different sea creatures in the Mediterranean. That the chilozen is some kind of a fish or something, a shell or something that's in the Mediterranean. So he decided what he thinks it is. So then different Rabbanim had different reactions. So the Radzina Rebbe put out three different Svarim. Now they print all three together, Shlosha Sifri HaTcheles. They print all three together in one volume. So one volume has the reactions of the other Rabbanim of his contemporaries, of his generation. And then he has his responses to their reactions. So he has that the Beis Halevi, that was Rabbi Yoshe Beis Soloveitchik, the father of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, was opposed to the Radzina Rebbe's Tchelus. Why was he opposed? So there are two versions. So in the Sefer that the Radzina Rebbe printed, he quotes a letter that was sent to him by a close associate, a friend of the Beis Halevi. He doesn't say the name. He prints the letter that the Beis HaLevi had the following taina. You have to explain to me why the trailers disappeared for so many years. They had it. The days of Moshe Rabbeinu until the days of the Tanaim and Amoraim, everybody used trailers. So what happened all of a sudden? Why did it disappear? And if you don't explain that, then there's a problem. And the animal, the fish that the Radzina Rebbe thought was the chilozen. So the associate, the friend of the Beis HaLevi writes, our fathers, our ancestors knew about that fish, the squid fish, that it spits out this dark black stuff. And they never used that dye. So obviously, it's like we have a tradition that that's not the chilozen, because they knew about that squid fish and they never used it. So it's a right that it's not correct. That's the version that says in the Shlosha Sifri HaTcheles, that the friend of the Beis HaLevi wrote. The Soloveitchik family in Eretz Yisrael and in America have a different version. Not that we have a tradition that it's wrong. Since the tradition has been lost, what the chalozen is, you can't reconstruct the tradition. If you don't have a masora, even if you're right, you're not right. You have to have a masora of what the chalozen is, what the chilozen is. And if you're going to figure it out based on archaeology, you're going to find a site which used to be a place for manufacturing trailers, and you're going to find all of these shells there from this shell animal. So that's not good evidence. You have to have a tradition, ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu, what the definition of chilozen is. So that's what the Soloveitchik family said. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik presented this argument once. He used to give a shiur every Tuesday night in Beis HaKnesses Moria in Manhattan. It used to be a shul. It was an office building, so they rented the second floor on the corner of 80th Street and Broadway. Now it's the whole building was taken over, I think, by Gap, and there's not the entrance to the side entrance doesn't exist anymore. So it's now no longer a shul. So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to give a shiur there in Gemara every Tuesday night. So when he said this, that you have to have a tradition, you can't reconstruct a masora based on archaeology. So that one of the Balabatim asked him a lot of kashas. So one of the Balabatim asked him, what about this story by Rabbi Bar Bachana that they made fun of him, that he's a fool, that he saw the Mesa Mid, but he should have gone over to check to see how many strings they had on that beged. So you see that you can reconstruct a din based on archaeology. So Rav Soloveitchik responded, I remember, the Gemara says, Ahu Taya, Pashup Shat Taya, Tes Yud Yud Ayin Alf. Taya means an Arab merchant, Secher Aravi. I think Rashi usually says, Taya Secher Aravi. So I think to remember, Rav Soloveitchik said at that time, every so often in the Zohar, the expression Taya appears and it refers to Elio Anovi. So maybe it was Elio Anovi who was showing him the Meisei Midbar. So Elio Hanavi is telling him if he would show him the Chutei Tzitzis, then Elio Hanavi is saying that this is acceptable. So then I remember, so the other kashas, the Gemara has a machlokes ha-tanoim, the tanoim who lived after the Churban HaBayis, they never saw the Kohen Gadol, they never saw the tzitz on the Kohen Gadol. So it says, it's supposed to say Kodesh LaHashem, Lamed Yudke Vavke. So the Gemara has a machlokes ha-tanoim, how was that written? Was it all written in one line? It was written Kodesh Lamed, and above that is Yudke Vavke. Yudke Vavke is on the top line, the second half of the line, and Kodesh Le is on the second line at the beginning of the line. So one Tana says, what are you talking about? I was in Rome and they showed me the tzitz in the treasury of the Vatican and it's all in one line. So he's bringing an archaeological proof that the tzitz is supposed to be one line, Kodesh Lashem. So, but the problem is that the Rambam Paskin is against that. So the Kes Mishnah asks, how come the Rambam Paskin is against archaeological evidence? So maybe that's what they say. That's exactly why they hold that archaeological evidence is not acceptable. Kes Mishnah doesn't say that answer. Kes Mishnah says there must have been more than one tzitz. In the Bais Sheni, there were so many Kohanim Gedolim, generation after generation they had. And then there were many years that every year there was another Kohen Gadol. And they used to call it the Lishkas Parhedrin, as if it's the mayor's office, because every year they appoint a new mayor in the city. So every year they had a different Kohen Gadol, because they used to buy the position from the secular government. Who would have the right to function as the Kohen Gadol? So the Kes Mishnah says they found one tzitz from 500. The tzitz has to fit on your forehead. So each person, each Kohen Gadol has a different size of a head. So there had to be many tzitz. And so just because they found one tzitz that had Kodesh Lashem on one line, it doesn't, there was a machlekes hatanoim, maybe there was machlekes bizman abayis also, maybe the roiv of the chachamim held that it should be in two lines. Then they ask another question, this I don't remember the answer to this, they ask another question, that in Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef quotes the Mordechai on Hilchas Tefillin, that there's a machlekes Rashi and Rabbein Atam, what should be the Seder HaParshios and the Shal Roish, and Nishal Yad also, but the original Machlokes and Nishal Roish. So the Rishayim quote, the Mordechai quotes, that they discovered a pair of tefillin der Rabbein Atam in the Kever Yecheskel HaNavi. So it does not show that that the correct form of tefillin is like the Rabbein Atam, because already in the days when Yecheskel HaNavi was buried, they already had tefillin der Rabbein Atam. So what could be the answer to that? So some say it could be that they were puzzled. The archaeology doesn't prove one way or the other. Maybe the tefillin were puzzled and that's why they were going, is it? Okay, when you want to bring a proof from archaeology, you have to know what is the proof, how strong is the proof. But that's an issue. That the Gemara has this machlokes b'shamei b'silu, whether you take three long strings and you fold them up, you make six, or you take four long strings, fold them up, you make eight. And Rabbi Bar Bachana in the Agadah at the beginning of Perek Amechas HaSfina says that he saw the Mesa Midbar. He didn't bother to check to see how many strings they had. And the Gemara considers him a fool, that he should have checked. Regarding the Trelis and the Lovan, we mentioned that's a Machlek Rabbi Nechachamim, whether the Trelis Me'akevis is a Lovan or not. Rov HaRishonim Paskin like the Chachamim, Tchelus is not Me'akevis HaSalov, and the Baal HaMo'or Ben Ezrachi HaLevi in his commentary on Perek Bamei Madlikin, the Gemara says that the Tanoim would bathe before Shabbos, and they would dress up big the Shabbos, and they would go out to greet the Shabbos. They say Boi Chala, Boi Chala. They would go to greet the Shabbos. So the Gemara says they would wear big day tzitzis with Tchelus and so on. So the Baal HaMo'or has a comment over there. Really has no shaychus, but has very little shaychus. But the Gemara, he paskens la'alocha like the Tana, the Tchelus Me'akevis HaSalovan. So then, according to the Baal HaMo'or, there's no use in wearing any tzitzis bizman hazeh, because if you don't have the mitzvah b'shleimusa, you're simply not yotzei. But that's what the Ramban writes in the Mochamis that we heard. The Ramban lived in Spain in Girona, and the Baal HaMo'or lived in Provence in southern France, but he says he heard that the Kibalna Medusa, we heard that the Balamor never wore tzitzis his whole life. Because according to him, Tredus Makevis Hasalom, you don't accomplish anything. Remember, Rav Soloveitchik was so surprised when he read that Ramban. So he blurted out, you mean that they buried the Balamor without a talus? I don't know, why was he so surprised? They buried him without a talus. I mean, all of his life, he never wore a talus. Okay. Tzvi Pesach Frank has a whole kuntris about the possibility of bringing korbanos bizman hazeh. There, Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer wrote a whole kuntris on the topic. And one of the issues is that Tzvi Pesach Frank writes that the Pashtus is that by Big Dekuna, for sure, Tchelus is Me'akevis in the Big Dekuna. By Tzitzis is Machlokes. But on Big Dekuna, he quotes Achrayim who think that for sure it's Me'akim. So that's what you have to ascertain. What exactly is the Tchelus? Anyway, the Rambam paskins like Rov HaRishonim that Tchelus is not Me'akevis as Halovim. So the Rambam writes that Shal Yad and Shal Rosh are not Me'akim Zeh Tfilin, that's Mishnayis in the middle of Menachas. So therefore, the Rambam says, since they're not Me'akim Zeh Zeh, that's a clear indication that they're considered two different mitzvahs. Masha Enikain, Dalad Minim Shabalulov, the Mishnah says, Am Me'akim Zeh Zeh. So therefore, the Rambam thinks that that constitutes one big mitzvah. So the Rambam, the Shitasai, who paskins that Chelis and Lovan are not Me'akim Zeh Zeh, This should have led him to believe that Chelus and Lovin should be counted as two different mitzvahs, like Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. So this is one of the kashas that Rab Daniel HaBavli, he was a dayan in Baghdad, he corresponded with Rabbeinu Avraham ben HaRambam, the Rambam's son. The Rambam had passed away already. So the Rab Daniel HaBavli corresponded with the Rambam's son. This is one of the kashas that he asked him. Why did the Rambam count Chelus and Lovin as one mitzvah, since he paskins that they're not me'akim zeh zeh, should be the same as tefillin shal yad and shal rosh, should be counted as two distinct mitzvahs. So Rabbeinu Avraham ben HaRambam answers, he doesn't think that it's a kasha. Shal yad and shal rosh, you put the shal yad over here, you put the shal rosh over there. So there's room to say that it's two different mitzvahs, not me'akim zeh zeh. The tzitz is all tied together. How can you say that it's two mitzvahs? It's one mitzvah. You have to be me'akim the mitzvah bishlei musa. So the mitzvah Bishlei Musa is if you have Tchelus and Lovan. And if you only have Lovan without Tchelus, or you only have Tchelus without Lovan, that's a mitzvah Shalom Bishlei Musa. Taisvis in Gittin writes in one place that it doesn't make sense on the level of the Raisa to have a Lachatchila in Bidyevit. Let's say the Mishnais have every so often a Gittin. Lachatchila, the Get should have been written like this in Bidyevit, even though the Get was not written like that. But the ever to get this kasha. So Tosha said that's a dead giveaway that the whole din is only midirabbanan. If it would have been a din deraisa, how can you distinguish between lachatchila and b'dievet? So it doesn't mean to say that there's never a lachatchila deraisa. There's never a din lachatchila deraisa. Take, for example, you bring a korban chata, so you're supposed to do four zrikas on the four kanas hamizbech. B'dievet, if you only do one zrika, we pass on like this hilol, machlek is b'hilol, mashamai, how much is ma'ke b'dievet? We can only one zrika is me'akibidiyevit. So how can you have a lachatchila deraisa? So Tesis in the end of Nida explains, when it comes to a mitzvah zesei, you can have a lachatchila deraisa, a mitzvah bishlei musa as opposed to a mitzvah shalom bishlei musa. If you talk about yisurim, a get is not a mitzvah, a get is a matir. So if it's a matir bidiyevit, it's a matir lachatchila. A person is toivel, let's say kashrus. If it's muta bidiyevit, so it's muta lachatchila. What Shach to say, Lachatchila deraisa and kashrus, if it's muta b'dievet, it's muta lachatchila. By mitzvahs, there's room to say, the mitzvah b'shlei musa should be done like this, and if you do shalom b'shlei musa, the yotze in the mitzvah b'dievet, but only shalom b'shlei musa. That's the tesis in the end of Maseches Nida. This sefer that has the correspondence between Rab Daniel, the Dayan in Baghdad, Daniel HaBavli, and the Rabbi Avraham ben HaRambam, is called Maisei Nisim. Whenever Rav Soloveitchik would refer to that sefer, he would always say he doesn't understand why they call it Maisei Nisim. He never saw any Nisim in the floors there. It's straight halacha. It's all halacha. They tell you on the first page, on the title page of the book, they tell you why it's called Maisei Nisim. Mr. Nisim, who lived in Paris, is the one who paid for the publication of the book. when they found the Matkin script. So that's what he called it, Maisa Nisim. It's Mr. Nisim's edition of this sefer. How many chutim of Trelis do you have to have? How many chutim of Laban? So this is a big dispute. So we follow Bishama. You have four long strings. So you fold them over in half, and it turns out that you have eight short strings. So the Rambam's opinion is that only one of the eight, in other words, a half of a string, has to be dyed Trelis. So what do? You take a long string, and then you put half of it into a pot of Trelis, and you dye it. It's not going to work, because the trellis, the color is only going to get absorbed in the outside surface of the string, and the strings are twined, and the inside is going to remain white. It's not going to turn blue. So you have to dye the wool before you make it into a string. And then when you make it into a string, that's a stunt already. You have to use, for half of the string, you have to use the blue wool, and then for the other half of the string, you have to use the white wool. That's a job, according to the Rambam. The Ravid agrees with the Rambam in principle that you only have one string. But he holds it doesn't make sense that you should have a half of a long string, only one of the eight strings. So he says one of the four long strings should be blue. The Netziv explains what there's a fundamental machlokes here. He says the Rambam and the Ravid both seem to hold that the role of the trellis basically is to do the krichas, to do the winding around. Mashenik and Tosfos' opinion, Rashi and Tosfos in Perakat Trelis, is that it's half and half, that the two of the long strings should be blue and two of the long strings should be white. In other words, the mitzvah of tzitzis consists of two parts. Not that the trellis is only mainly for the purpose of winding around. No, you have to wind around the white and the blue. According to the Rambam, the main winding around, the main kriches, is with the blue. According to the Rambam, everything, you wind everything blue, just the first kricha and the last kricha is white, and everything else in between is going to be blue. Mashenikin, according to Tosfos, no, you have half of the krichas are blue and half of the krichas are white. So that's the Netziv in his commentary on the Shilta's points this out. Seems to be a fundamental machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid against the Baalei HaTosfos. What is the role of the trelis? Is it the two parts to the tzitzis, half trelis, half lovan, or no? The trellis is mainly for the purpose of the krichas. There's a Rashi on Chumash that we have. Rashi says that that there are eight strings in the tzitzis. Four folded over makes eight. Eight strings in the tzitzis correspond to the 8 days between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. So they're not 8 days in between. Kriyas Yamsuf is on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. So how can he say that there are 8 days in between? So if I'm not mistaken, I think the Meshech Chochma says it's a misprint in Rashi. It should really say 7 days. But there are eight strings in the tzitzis. What does it mean, seven? So Rashi and Chumash apparently is writing like the Rambam, that one out of the eight is blue and seven out of the eight are white. But Rashi and the Gemara writes like this, that it's half and half. Two long strings are white, two long strings are blue. Which of the opinions should you follow? Which should you follow? So in the Shulchan Aruch,
the art scroll explains that the eight is from the time they had Rishus to leave Mitzrayim.
Okay, good. Okay, the day before. Okay. So the in Shulchan Aruch, the already days by the days of Rabbi Yosef Kari, there was no trelis. So he never writes explicitly about this topic: how many strings should be blue, how many strings should be white. However,
Rashi says eight because Erev Pesach they brought the Korban Pesach and they didn't say.
Oh, okay. Good. So you don't have to change the girsa. Good. So it's not a steer in Rashi then. So the Rashi on Chumash doesn't contradict the Rashi on the Gemara. Then there's no problem. Good.
And how does Rashi know that they waited 8 days? Before they said Shira. Maybe they said Shira all along. How does Rashi know that they waited 8 days?
Yeah, the Chumash sounds like Oz Yashir is at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf is on Shvi Shal
Pesach. What is the gematria of Oz?
Yeah.
Eight.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Maybe it's because it says, Aposuk Hashem Yilochem Lochem Va'atem Tacharishun. You should be quiet. What do you mean you should be quiet? Rashi is learning. Tacharishi means they weren't saying Shira. They were allowed to talk. So that's how Rashi says they didn't say Shira until the conclusion. So they had 8 days from Erev Pesach because they wanted to say, when they shechted the Korban Pesach, they wanted to say Shira, but they weren't allowed to. So that's how Rashi says 8 days.
Very good. Yashir Kayach. Okay. Very good. So there's a din of Gardumi Tzitzis. There's a minimum length the strings have to be. But the Gemara says, if you tie the chutim on the beged and you're wearing them, and then one of the strings or several of the strings get torn, that's gardume, and it no longer has the length, the correct length that it's supposed to have. So the Gemara says that sometimes it'll be kosher, sometimes it won't be kosher. So the Rabbeinu Tam Shita is quoted, Mechaba quotes Rabbeinu Tam Shita. The only time the gardume is good, the Rabbeinu Tam reads in the Gemara like this, the only time gardume means if some of the strings got shortened after it was kosher in the beginning. The only time it's acceptable is if you have the trelis is bishlei musa and the loven got ripped. Or the loven is bishlei musa and trelis got ripped. So if three out of the strings is no longer, three out of the long strings, the four long strings, so three out of the long strings are ripped and no longer have the shear, then the tzitzis is no good. But if only two got ripped, let's say today, everything is loven, you know, for many years, no one had any trelis. So if two out of the strings are no longer the right size, but two are good, so you say you have half of the tzitzis is bishlei musa, is good. So the Mechaber quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, he paskens like this, Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is based on the assumption that the trelis and the loven are half and half. That is, two are trelis and two are loven. The Mishnah Berurah also quotes halacha lemaisa from the Malbim. The Malbim, early on in his career, was a big poisek, and he wrote his Sefer Artzus HaChaim on the beginning of Baruch Haim. He has on Hilchas Tzitzis and a little bit on Tfilin. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes it every so often from the Sefer Artzus HaChaim. So the Artzus HaChaim, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this din, that let's say the garment is silk, and you want to use silk strings. So silk strings are acceptable. But if you want to have on a silk garment, you want to have woolen strings is also good. But if you want to have three in one, you want to have three silk strings and one woolen string. So that's not acceptable. It has to be two and two, because the tzitzis consist of two parts, two trelis and two loven. So each unit, the trelis or the loven, each unit has to be the same material. You can't have three in one. So they seem to pask in la locha, like the Rashi and Tosis on the Gemara, that it has to be two and two. It has to be two and two. Exactly what color is the trelis? So we assume that it's blue. Why do we assume it's blue? Because the Gemara says that in the days of the Tanaim, there would be merchants who would fool the public. They would be selling kloilon, which is the same color as the trelis, but it didn't, kloilon, doesn't come from this chilozin, from a different source. So the Oruch is a dictionary that Rashi and Tosfos quote every so often. So the Oruch writes, what does the word kloila mean? He says kloila means indigo. So indigo, we know, is the color of blue. So that's how we know what color the trelis is supposed to be. When you have the blue, you can have a light blue, you can have a deep blue. So which is it supposed to be? Is it supposed to be, are you supposed to water it down when you get this dye, the trelis from the chilozin fish, the sea creature, when you get this trelis, are you supposed to mix in a lot of water or no water? Should it be a dark blue or should it be a light blue? So the Gemara says, trelis dama l'rakia. Rakia, what time of the day the rakia? So Rashi and Chumash, on this week said, Rashi writes, the color of the sky at midnight, the color of the sky at midnight is very dark blue. It's like black, practically like black. Masheni came, the Rambam writes, color this blue, the color of the sky in the afternoon. So that's light blue. One year, Rav Soloveitchik gave the Yortzeit drasha on Trelis and Lovan. Every year on his father's Yortzeit, he would deliver a big shiur that was about 4 hours long. First 2 hours would be halacha, then the second 2 hours would be machshava based on halacha. It would be agoda based on halacha. The one year he mentioned in passing a little bit about this, Machlekes Rashi and the Rambam, he said in the Zohar, in the Mefarshim on the Zohar, there's a discussion whether Trelis is supposed to represent Midas Adin or Midas Achesed. So Rashi and Chumash writes that Trelis is Miloshen Tichlo, death. death to the Mitzrayim, that it's supposed to be the color of the sky at midnight, and it's supposed to remind us of Makas Becharis, which took place at midnight. So that's Midas Adin. According to the Rambam, the color of the sky in the afternoon, the daytime is Midas Achesed, nighttime is Midas Adin. I remember I met many years ago, and I used to speak many times in California for the OU. This past year didn't happen, but on a normal year, they used to have a Yarchei Kala between December 25th and January 1st. So I would speak there a lot. So on one occasion, some person came up to me, he asked me, are there any sources in the Talmudic literature regarding Cheles, whether it's poisonous? So I said, what does that mean? Why do you ask? He tells me he works for the federal government. There's a law that when you make clothing, sweaters or garments, so little children chew on their sleeves. Some adults chew on their sleeves also. So there's a federal law. You're not allowed to put poisonous color in the clothing because some people are going to chew on it and it's going to be detrimental to their health. So he does this for the government. He tests the colors in the clothing. So for the fun of it, he decided to test the trellis, and he discovered that it has some poison in it, that it's unhealthy to chew on the trellis. So I told him the only source that comes to mind is this Rashi and Chumash, that trellis is in Losh and Tichla, death to the Mitzri. Maybe it's supposed to be poisonous. I don't know. I remember Dr. Twersky, who just passed away a few months ago, this year, Dr. Twersky was a big, all excited. He had a home in Efrat, I think after a year. A lot of time he lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he was all excited about the trellis. He used to wear trellis. They once spoke in Tinek, the two of us spoke about trellis. So he said there's some kind of a system where they give some kind of a test, where they tested the color of blue, how deep the color is, and have different numbers. So when they test the new trellis that they have now, the number that it shows up is 613. So he was so excited about that because the pasuk says the reason Moshe is chartum is called mitzvah Hashem, and Rashi Achumish makes a whole calculation that tzadik yud tov. That's not the way the word is spelled in the Chumash. Tzadik yud tov is not spelled like that. But tzadik yud is 100. Tzadik yud is another 100. Tough is 400, so tzitzis is already 600, and then Rashi says you have the 8 strings and how many knots? 8 strings and 5 knots, so that makes 13. So that's 613. So he says, but now we know an easy upshot, not the gematria of tzitzis and the 8 and the 6. It's rather that the number of this blue, this color blue, on this scale is 613. He was very excited about that.
No, it's an arbitrary scale.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know who made up the scale. I don't know. The Gemara says, Tchelis daimel le'rakia. Tchelis is supposed to be the color of the sky, and the rakia is daimel le'kis ya'kovitz. And when we look at the Tchelis, we'll remind ourselves, Rizimah says, Chartam skamitz Hashem. We'll remember about the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Gemara points out in the second perek in Chagiga that there are Shiva Rakiyim. Each Rakiya has a different name. We say when people are very happy, so we say they're in seventh heaven. That's the seventh of the Rakiyim. The seventh heaven is not the most happy one, though. The Gemara says, but Mistorim Tivke Napshi. The Ribbono Shel Olam in the seventh heaven, where the Ribbono Shel Olam is, he's really crying, so to speak, not to be taken literally, figuratively, though. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not happy about all the terrible tragedies that are occurring in the world. When we say, Baruch Halakena Shasimcha Bima Ono Ma'on, I think is the fifth heaven. So when you have a Sheva Brachas, you don't say the Simcha is in the seventh heaven. I forgot what the name of the seventh heaven is, because the Gemara says that he cries over there. So the Ma'on is one of the lower heavens. So the Gemara says, in order to have seven heavens, you have to have six Hapsakas in between. If you don't have any Avirim, Mapsik, in between each heaven, then it's all going to be one big heaven. So if you add six Avirim to the seven heavens, you have 13. So the Gemara says, since the Trelis is supposed to be Dhamma the Rakia, So when you wind around the chutim around, you're supposed to wind around, that's called the psil. Psil trelis. What does the word psil mean? So Rashi and Chumash writes, like naftul elekim niftalti emachosi, means I wrestled with my sister. Naftul niftalti. So Rashi, I think, writes on Chumash that the word psil means tzidreit balas, twisted. That the tzitzah should be wrapped around. One chut should be wrapped around the other seven chutim. That's part of the din deraisa. So the Gemara says, since it's Dharma Dharakiya, so you should have a minimum of seven times wrapped around and a maximum of 13, because there is Shiva Rikiyim, and in order to have Shiva Rikiyim, you have to have six Avirim, Mapsikim between the Shiva Rikiyim, so you should have a maximum of 13. So Taisus has two Pshatam and not Gemara, and the two Pshatam are Machlikas, the Ramam and the Raivit, a minimum of seven and a maximum of 13. What are you talking about? So one Pshat is how many Krichas you do. For many centuries, the practice was we did 7, 8, 11, 13. So the first unit, you have two knots, and you tie the chutim on the beged. You have two knots, and you wrap around seven times, and you make a double knot, then you wrap around eight times, make a double knot. So the first chulia, the first unit has seven, and the last chulia has 13. So that's one pshat in Taisus. How many chulias do you have? That means how many krichas do you do in each chulia? You should do between 7 and 13. The other, and how many chulias they make? So we make four, 7, 8, 11, 13. You make four with five double knots, one at the beginning and one at the end of each one of the chulias. The other opinion in Tosfos is no. The Gemara says how many krichas you make in each chulia. Three krichas, not between 7 and 13. They said between minimum 7, maximum of 13. How many chulias do you have? So instead of having four, so you're supposed to make a minimum of seven, maximum of 13 chulias, and each chulia should have between 7 and 13 krichas. So Taisus points out for so many generations that they didn't have trailers. So the whole thing is irrelevant. The whole idea of making between 7 and 13 is if you have trailers, trailers, the rakia. So you want to make the zecher to the seven rikiyim and to the six avirim. But if you don't have trailers, it's irrelevant. But if people today are beginning to use the trailers, so then you should be more makbid. So what do you do to satisfy the both opinions? So the simple way to satisfy the both opinion is you should make seven chulias, and each chulia should have a minimum of seven krichas. And in between each chulia, you have double knots. That takes up an awful lot. Every time you make a double knot, you use up an awful lot of string. So if you want to do that, you want to make seven chulias, and each chulia is going to have seven strings, going to have 49 krichas, and you're going to have seven chulias. You're going to have eight double knots. So you have to ask them that you want the longer strings. They'll accommodate you. If you say you want like that, they will give you that. You look in the Sefer Huitur. Sefer Huitur is one of the Balei HaTosfos. So he writes like that. He says, you should have seven times seven, and Zecher LeDogor, the Pasuk in Parshas Behar, that every seventh year is Shemitah, and after seven Shemitahs, then you have Yovel. So it says you have seven times seven, and then you make Yovel. So he says, just like by seven Shemitahs, you have seven times 7 years, here you have seven units, and each unit has seven. That's what it says in the Sefer HaHitur. For many years, the Trelis was lost. So wasn't that a tragedy? So they quote in the name of the Arizal that it, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow such a tragedy to occur? So the Arizal says, it's not that great a tragedy because the Yikah Mitzvah of Trelis is only Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikai. What do you mean? But the Tanoim and Amoraim, they all lived after the Churban HaBayis. The Arizal is not saying a halachic statement. He's not saying al pidin, that there's no value in wearing Trelis after the Churban HaBayis. All the Tanoim, many of the Tanoim lived after the Churban HaBayis. He says, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu permit such a tragedy to occur? So the tragedy is not so great because the main Kiyam HaMitzvah is only Bizman HaMig. Why is that so? It's unclear. So the Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, published in his Shavuos HaTshuvos, he quotes a Gemara in Brachas that there used to be a bracha when you see the Rakia B'Toharosa, when you see the sky is a beautiful color blue, then you recite the bracha. Then the Gemara said that Bizman HaZeh, we don't recite that bracha anymore because Miyom Shachar Beis HaMikdash, the blue color of the sky is not the way it's supposed to be. So since the Tchelis is supposed to be done with the Rakia, but since the Churban Abayis, the Rakia, is not the right color, so that's what he puts two and two together. He says that's perhaps what the Arizal was talking about, that you don't accomplish that much by having Tchelis after the Churban Abayis. If Tchelis is available, you certainly should use it. We're not so sure. It's not 100% clear. Many are not so convinced 100% that this is the authentic Tchelis. But the Pashtus is, there's a din of Sfeika Deraisa L'chumra. Whenever you have a din Deraisa and you have a Sofik, so you should go L'chumra. There was a suggestion made, some Gedolim had a suggestion, Sfeika Deraisa L'chumra means like this. If a person ate a whole meal, Kedei Sviya, he's obligated to recite Birchas HaMazon and HaTorah, and then he's a little shikr, he's a little tipsy, and he doesn't remember. Maybe he did recite Birchas HaMazon. Sofik if he recited. So Sofik Birch, Sofik Lod Birch, Chayza Mevarach, Sofik Deraisa L'chumra. And after he'll recite the Birchas HaMazon now, so for sure he has fulfilled the mitzvah. Well, let's say a person, Shukalula ben an Esrog, and then they bring to his attention, it could be that the Esrog that he used was an Esrog Hamurkov, and maybe he wasn't Yotze. So he goes ahead and he shakes Lulav and Esrog again with a different Esrog that he knows is not a Murkov. And now he knows for sure that he fulfilled the mitzvah. But over here, what are you going to say? Sveka deraisa l'chumra go l'chumra. But even after you're going to wear the tchelis, he's still not sure whether you've accomplished anything or not. So that's what some argue the point, that you don't apply sveka deraisa l'chumra in such a situation. There's such a discussion in the Maharam Shif on Bava Metzia, on the Gemara, Kofat Zecha Ben Amnuyim. Maharam Shif talks about such an idea. So Menachem Zemba, who was killed by the Nazis in the end of the Warsaw Ghetto, he was one of the last that was killed there. So he used to correspond. He had a son who was very learned, and the son died when he was engaged to get married. He was very promising, young Talmid Chacham, and it was a great tragedy. So the father published, in memory of the son, he published his correspondence that he had with the son. The son was learning in a yeshiva, not where the father lived. So the son was he died, I think, at the age of 20 or 21, very young age. He was so strong in learning. Rabbi Nachum Zemba was even stronger in learning. But the son was very, very sharp for a young boy. He was very, they knew all over. Even the young members of the Polish Talmid Chachamim. So Menachem Zemba, in the correspondence with his son, he touches on this and he says it's an interesting idea. There are poskim hold like that. That Sveika Deraisa L'chumra only applies if you'll go L'chumra, you know that you will have fulfilled the mitzvah for sure. But if even after doing L'chumra, you're still not sure if you accomplished anything, then you don't apply Sveika Deraisa L'chumra. However, he concludes, that's not the accepted opinion. It says, look in Shulchan Aruch, it says Beferish, not so. That if a person didn't shake lulav the whole first day of Sukkot, when the tilas lulav is deraisa, lulav kol shiva today, chutz lebeis hamikdash is only made the rabban and zechel hamikdash, takonas rabdechem and zakai. After the churban bayis sheni, he made a takona, he made nine takonas, and several of them had, quite a few of them had to do with the churban abayis, made a takona, shehei lulav nito kol shiva, we shouldn't forget this din, the Bizman HaMikdash, there used to be such a din that Lulav Nito Kol Shiva BaMikdash. But the first day of Sukkot, so the Kachdol Hem BaYom HaRishon, that says in the Chumash. So if a person didn't shake a Lulav the whole day, the first day of Sukkot, and now it's already after the Shkia Ben Hashmashis is Safik Yom, Safik Laila, he can only fulfill the mitzvah of Lulav BaYom. So because it's a Sveika Deraisa L'chumra, you have to shake the lulav in the Bein HaShmashas of Mitzoy Yontav Rishayin of Sukkot. Now, even after he shakes the lulav, he's still not sure whether he has accomplished anything. It could be that Bein HaShmashas is Dina Kelaila, and he didn't accomplish anything. So Rabbi Nachum Zemba says, he see from the Shulchan Aruch that we don't paskin like that idea. There are poskim a whole like that, but that's not the accepted opinion. There is an issue. The Gemara in Pcheres has a din, and some point out this is a big problem. Baron Pcheres says that the tchelis has to be dyed a certain color, but it has to be a certain material. The chutei tchelis, the one of the two chutim, however many have in every corner, the chutei tchelis have to be tzemer. Even if the garment is pishtim, the chutei tcheles have to be tzemer. If the garment is pishtim, linen, and the chute tcheles at tzemer, that's going to be real shatnez deraisa. The Gemara says, yes, this is the mocker of the din of Esed Dechaloy Sesed. The only way to fulfill the mitzvah of putting in tcheles is by using chute tzemer, if it's a beged shel pishton. So then I say, Esed Dechaloy Sesed. The Gemara learns that from this pasuk to kol ha-tarikula, that Esed Dechaloy Sesed. So and then the Gemara says you only yotze tcheles if the tzemer comes from tzemer rechelim, from a sheep, rochel bas rochel bas rochel, all the way back till sheshes may breishes. If the animal was in any one generation, there were quite a few generations since the days of Adam Harishon. So if any generation there was a breed of a sheep with a goat or something, even though now the wool is regular, like regular wool. But if it's a hybrid, so then it's not acceptable for tcheles. So for many years, they used to only have they would breed sheep that would produce wool. And in recent years, in the last century or so, they came to the realization: a lot of times the wool and the tzitzis is very schwach and it gets torn right away. The strings of the tzitzis, it gets torn right away. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says you have to check the tzitzis every morning. Maybe they got ripped. And in recent years, the tzitzis never rip. How come? So they point out because they breed the animal, they breed the sheep with other animals, and it accomplishes two things. It makes much more wool, and it makes the wool stronger and sturdier. So, but if they breed it with other animals, so then the shaila is, then the Gemara says that it's not acceptable for tcheles. Because tcheles has to be dafke wool, rochel bas rochel, all the way back to sheshes may breishes. So there are places in the world where they don't do this. But I think in many, I don't know whether most or many of the places where they breed sheep in order to produce the wool, in order to make money on the wool, they do breed them with other animals in order that it should produce more wool and should be sturdier. So then you got a problem. Not only if you have tcheles, even if you don't have tcheles. Let's say you're wearing a garment that's cotton. You wear a cotton arba kamphis. So the Gemara says the tzitzis, the chute tzitzis, can be either tzemer or pishtim or whatever the garment is. So if you have a cotton garment and you have strings, chute tzitzis of cotton that were made lishma, so that's acceptable. But if you have a cotton garment, then you can't be, I'd say, with silk strings. You can only be, I'd say, with wool. So if the wool is a hybrid, then Alpidin is not called wool. So it's a problem for everybody. Even the people are not wearing tcheles, it's a problem. But it's going to be especially a problem. You spend so much money to get tcheles, then it comes out that it's not acceptable. Yeah. This issue, whether... we mentioned that the Gemara learns out the principle of Esed Dechaloy Sesed and Kol HaTorah Kula from this din. Then Chumash Dvarim we darshan smuchim. Usually in Kol HaTorah Kula we darshan a hekesh. If you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, we assume that there's a connection between the two. If you have two dinim written in two adjacent psukim, that's called smuchim. So that's a machlekes hatanoim. And the accepted psak halacha in Yevam is daf dalet on the base is the only darshan smuchim and Chumash Dvarim. That's called Mishnah Torah. Only a chumash dvarim. Mar gives two different reasons why. So you have these two psukim, one next to the other. Gedilim tasa l'cho, and the sil b'shat and semer pishtim yachtam. These two psukim, one next to the other, to indicate that esed dechaloy sesed, that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tcheles and the tzitzis, you're permitted and obligated to put in chutei tcheles, which are tzemer, even though the beggar is going to be pishtim. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that this is the source of Esed Dechaloy Sesed. So this is a problem. But Tosfos says that Kalayim and Tzitzis is Hutra. Not only if it would only be Dechuya Esed Dechaloy Sesed, then you wouldn't. The Gemara says that Iksus Laila is not Chayv and Tzitzis. So there's a Machlokes in Rishayim what that means. So the Rabbein Tam and Tosfos holds that it means pajamas are Potter. But if you're wearing a Talis Balayla, Iksus Laila, Ksus Laila is Potter, but it does mean that the mitzvah doesn't apply Balayla. Mitzvah applies Balayla, but pajamas are Potter. And the Rambam learns, no, it means that the mitzvah only applies by Yom, it doesn't apply Balayla. So the Shaila is, are you permitted to wear a beged shel tzitzis that has shatnas in it? The beged is pishtim, linen, and the chutei tzitzis are going to be treles, which has to be tzemer. Are you permitted to wear that beged shel tzitzis balayla when you're not being yotze the mitzvah? So Rabbi Natam says that it's muta because it's hutra. Since this is a beged shel tzitzis, you don't even need that you're mekayim the mitzvah. Even if you're not mekayim the mitzvah at all at night, it's still kelayim tzitzis is hutra. So the question is, if it's hutra, how can you learn out from here the din of eser dechaloy sase? It's a din of dechuya or is it a din of hutra? That's an issue. There's also an issue in the Tosfos. They quote the Rabbi Natam says that eksus yom balayla is chayv in tzitzis. Only pajamas are patur. So what's the shaila? The Rabbi Natam has a discussion. Are you permitted to wear the tzitzis, the beged of tzitzis balayla, if it has shatnas? Of course, the beged of tzitzis is a ksus yom balayla. Rabbi Natam holds it's chayv in tzitzis. So that's why you're permitted to wear it, because it's chayv in tzitzis. Then the Rabbi Natam gives a different explanation, because it's hutra. So someone put in parentheses in the middle of the Tosfos, Rabbi Natam says that perusha shalomayla. This Rabbi Natam contradicts what he said earlier. Earlier, the Tosfos quoted the name Rabbi Natam that Ksus Yom Balayla is Chayv and Tzitzis. Only pajamas are Beged Laila, Ksus Laila is Pata. And here the Rabbi Natam and the later Tosfos Rabbi Natam says that the reason why it's Mutter to wear the Tzitzis with the Shatnas Balayla is because Hutra, because the whole prohibition of Kalim doesn't apply to the Beged Shal Tzitzis. Isn't it a contradiction? There are two different explanations. So Rav Soloveitchik once gave all Yotzei Drasha to answer that kasha. Why it's not Rabbi Natam says a pirusha shalomayla. Yeah, the question is now that tchelis is available, sofik deraisa luchumra. Okay, now that tchelis is available, what's so terrible if a person doesn't bother to put in tchelis? So first of all, is mevatel a mitzvah. The Torah says that there's a mitzvah to put tchelis. So he's mekayim the mitzvah only b'di'evad. L'chatchila, he should be mekayim the mitzvah b'shleim musa. So the Beis HaLevi has a whole essay in Chelek Aleph of the Tshuvas, of three halakim of the Beis HaLevi's Tshuvas. So Chelek Aleph, he has an essay, when is one a violation of Bal Tigra? Let's say a person has tefillin and he only has three parshias out of the four parshias. He has a talus, he only has tzitzis on three corners. He doesn't have any tzitzis on the fourth corner. Is that a violation of Bal Tigra? So Rashi and Chumash writes, that's a violation of Bal Tigra. So the Beis HaLevi develops a whole theme based on a Rashbo and Maseches Rosh Hashanah. That's not Bal Tigra. He's just not Mekayim the Mitzvah. If he only has tzitzis on three corners, he's not Yotze the Mitzvah. He's Mevatel the Mitzvah. If he has only tefillin with three parshas, he's not Yotze the Mitzvah. It's not Bal Tigra. Bal Tigra is only, if he did it, let's say, what example did the Mishnah have of Bal Tigra? A person has a korban chatas. He's supposed to do four zrikas on the four corners on his bech. Instead of doing four, he does one zrik, and we pass like besila that b'di'evad is yotze. So if you do a mitzvah in a fashion that you yotze b'di'evad, and you had an opportunity to do it lachatchid, you didn't bother to, so that's a violation of batigra. You yotze the mitzvah b'gira'on when you had the ability to be yotze b'shle musam. So if you're going to wear some by tzitzis, the Beis HaLevi writes, it's always like that. If you're going to have lovan, you're not going to have tchelas. So you're fulfilling the mitzvah shalom b'shleim musa. So he said, that's a violation of Bal Tigra. So the question is, but for many generations, our parents and grandparents and ancestors for so many years did that. They were all wearing lovan without tchelas, so they all violated Bal Tigra. So one could answer, perhaps, a suggestion. Beis HaLevi doesn't say this. One could perhaps say, if you have the option of putting in tchelis, and you didn't, if you have the dam of the chatas, and you have a mizbech, and you have the ability to be zurek on four kanas on mizbech, and you didn't bother to do it, then it's Bal Tigra. But if you did a zrik on one keren, and then all the rest of the dam falls into a puddle of water, and it gets ruined, and you can't collect it, you can't be, if you can't, you can't, and you're not in violation of Bal Tigra. So maybe for so many generations, tchelis was not available. No one knew what the tchelis was. Maybe we should have done better research on it, but the Lamaisa tchelis was not available. So maybe then there's no violation about tigra. Beis HaLevi doesn't say that. He says that all the generations we were taka in violation about tigra, him including. He didn't have any tchelis. He violated about tigra. Well, he says, we're all walking around with Eseh Dechalai Seseh. You want to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis to have lovan. The only way to fulfill it is by wearing a four-cornered garment and having lovan, but we didn't have tchelis available. So that's Eseh Dechalai Seseh. Esed Dechalai Sasi. Interesting. But Esed Dechalai Sasi is only if it's EF Shalakaim Shneim. But if Tchelis is available and we don't bother to put it in, so not only are we not Yotze the Mitzvah Bishlei Musa, we are also in violation of Bal Tigra. That's the Beis HaLevi, right? So like that in the Tshuva. So according to him, it would already be better that the person shouldn't wear tzitzis at all, don't wear a talis at all. If you don't wear a talis at all, you're not mechuyev in tzitzis. There is no din, you're obligated to wear a four-cornered garment. It's what the Rambam calls a mitzvah, so reshus, a conditional mitzvah. If you happen to be wearing a beged of four corners, then you're obligated to put in chutei tzitzis. If you're not wearing a beged with four corners, then you're not mechuyev in tzitzis. So if the person doesn't wear a four-cornered beged, so there's no problem. If he wears the beged and he doesn't put in tchelas, then he's in violation of Bal Tigra. So the chur would be better not to wear the tzitzis at all, rather than to wear the tzitzis and not to put in the tchelas. Mishnah Berurah also has this idea. He doesn't talk about tchelas, he talks about something else in Hilchas Tfilin, I think. He says, whenever there's a din l'chatchila, and you're yotze the mitzvah b'yeved, you had the ability to do it l'chatchila, then you're in violation of Bal Tigra. He has that in the Bir Aloch. That's basically the same definition that the Beis HaLevi gave. Same definition that the Beis HaLevi gave. There's a famous Tosfos in Kitten Daf Mem Hei and Beis, but Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Tam that Isha Psula LaHatolas Tzitzis. The Gemara says that the Chutei Tzitzis have to be, you have to be twine, you have to convert the wool into Chutim. So the manufacturing of the chutim and the twining of the chutim has to be done lishma. The asiyas ha-chutim for tzitzit has to be done lishma. So now there's a machlekes, there are the Tosfos and the Rambam. The Rambam holds all you need lishma for is manufacturing the strings. But when you tie the strings on the beged, that doesn't have to be lishma. So even if you have a nochri, that's a pasuk. If the nochri ties the chutim on the beged, that's pasul. Da'bel b'nei Yisrael b'yosav lahem tzitzis. B'nei Yisrael b'yosav v'lo umisar lahem b'yosav. If a goy ties the tzitzis on, it's no good. But let's say a Jewish child ties it on before bar mitzvah, he's alav bar das, so you can't say that it's lishma. So according to the Rambam, it's not a problem. But the Balei HaTos disagree with the Rambam. They hold if asiyas hatzitzis has to be lishma, making, taking the wool and converting the wool into the strings has to be asiyah lishma. Certainly more so the tying the chutam onto the beged, into the holding beged, that certainly has to be lishma. That's the real asiyas hatzitzis. So therefore a cotton cannot tie a tzitzis. I remember when I was a little boy, so my parents lived in Pennsylvania and the day school at that time in Philadelphia only went to the fifth grade. So when I finished the fifth grade, they had to send me to New York to stay by my grandparents to go to a day school in New York, in the Bronx. I went to Salanti Yeshiva, which now converted to become SAR. It's not like it used to be. When I learned in Salanti, the Rebbe spoke in Yiddish. SAR, they don't know what Yiddish is. Forget about the Talmid HaChachamim. They don't have anything like it used to be. So my grandfather taught me how to tie tzitzis. So I used to tie the tzitzis on the talisim before my bar mitzvah, years before my bar mitzvah. I used to tie the tzitzis on the talisim in the Young Israel of Tremont, in the shul. The rabbi was a Talmid Chacham, Rabbi Peretzky. He was later a rebbe in yeshiva. He was the bochen in the yeshiva. He had learned in Radin by the Chavetz Chaim. He learned in yeshivas in Europe. He was Talmid Chacham. He didn't know that I, as a little kid before bar mitzvah, was tying the tzitzis. If he would have known, he would have not allowed me to do it. Because it says in Shulchan Aruch, we are machma like the Tosfos that you need tying the chutam on lishma, and a cotton before bar mitzvah is considered a lab bardas. So whenever you need lishma, the cotton cannot create lishma. So the Rabbeinu Tam goes one step further and he says, not only can a cotton not do lishma, cherish or to be cotton on lab b'nei das, so they can't accomplish lishma, and isha can also not. Why? Whoever is zeinu b'torah is that mitzvah. Whoever doesn't have any shaychus, women are not mechuyev in tzitzis. Because it's a mitzvah says shazman grama. So therefore, a woman who's not b'toras mitzvah tzitzis cannot create lishma. So a woman cannot tie on the chuti tzitzis. So some of the achrayim in Shulchan Aruch says we don't pass like the Rabbeinu Tam. The Mechaber writes we don't pass like the Rabbeinu Tam. And the Ramah says we should be choshish for the Rabbeinu Tam, that it shouldn't permit a woman to tie the chutim onto the beged. So some of the achrayim point out The pasuk in Chumash sounds like it says against the Rabbein Tam, because it says Dabel Bnei Yisrael Ve'amarta Aleihem. Why does it say twice Dabel Bnei Yisrael Ve'amarta Aleihem? It's the same thing, Dabel Bnei Yisrael. And Dibur is usually Loshen Kosher, and Amira is Loshen Raka. So I think the Haflah in the Panim Yofes, I think he has this comment, Dabel Bnei Yisrael Dibur Loshen Kosher, tell the men that they're Mechuyev and Tzitz, the women are not Mechuyev. But the men should tell their wives, Ve'amarta Aleihem, Loshen Raka, the husband should ask their wives, Yosalem tzitzis, the women should tie the tzitzis onto the beggar. So you see from the pasuk that women can tie the chutim onto the beggar, that there is no such thing. That's what they quote. That the Ponim Yofes has a comment on the pasuk against the Rabbein Tam. The Rosh lived in Germany.
If a cotton doesn't be the Evit, can we rely on that?
I don't think so. I think that you need lishma by the tying onto the beggar. You need lishma. Not only you need lishma, if a gadol does it, he has to say befer, bedibur, because there's a machlokes harishayim in the first half in Zochem, and the first half in Menaches, and in Psochem, and in Bava Metzia, different mesichtes. Pigul. The Gemara talks about machshavas pigul. Lo yichashiv lo, machshava pigul. Machshava pigul means what the kohen is thinking. At the time he does the avoda, machshava means what the kohen is saying. Can you make pigul by machshava, or do you need davke dibur? So the Rosh in Hilchas Sefer Torah writes, when you need ksiva lishma by Sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzah, by tzitzis, or whatever you need lishma, is it enough machshavas lishma, or do you have to have dibur? So we're a get, let's say, when the Sefer writes a get, so he says beferish, in any case of a get, lishma, lishma, lishem gerishin, you need dibur, machman lachatchila. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah is, Machmer, that even if a gadol put on the tzitzis, he has to say bedibur, he has to say befer, that he's putting it on lishma. You have to have a gadol who's a bardas, and he has to say bedibur, that he's putting it on lishma. Well, yeah, Mishnah Berurah is Machmer on that. Yeah. So the Rosh lived in Germany, and his Rebbe was the Maharam Rutenberg, and they put the Maharam Rutenberg in prison in order to hold up the Jewish community for the ransom money. That was a common practice in the Middle Ages. They would kidnap somebody. It's now in certain countries, in Mexico and other countries, South America, it's very common. They kidnap wealthy people or their children, and then they'll only free them if you pay the ransom money. So the Rosh was a wealthy man, so he was prepared to put up half the money. We're going to get the rest of the money from the Jewish community. The ransom of the Maram Rutmerg. Maram Rutmerg said, "Al pidin, you're not allowed to." Because the mission says in Gittin, you're not permitted to be paid the people who are held hostage for more than the going rate on the slave market, because you're just encouraging these pirates to kidnap more people. So he said, so his whole lifetime, during the lifetime of the Mamrutmark, they didn't ransom him. He left instructions that even after he dies also, they're not allowed to ransom his body, they should let him rot away. But after he died, then one of the wealthy Balabatim did pay the money against the instructions of the Maharam Rutenberg, and he ransomed the body, then he buried him. And then that Balabas was rewarded later when he died, so they buried him next to the Maharam Rutenberg, even though he violated the psak of the Maharam Rutenberg. He said they should not ransom him. So after the Maharam Rutenberg passed away in prison, the Rosh realized he's next. They're going to put him in prison, hold up the Jewish community for the ransom money. So he ran away to Spain. He disappeared from Germany, ran away to Spain. And he went to Barcelona, where the Rajbo lived. He stayed by the Rajbo for a week. And then within a matter of a week, he already got a rabbinical position in Toledo. So he had this Yekshisha rabbi, doesn't speak a word of Spanish, and he's a rabbi. He's introducing all the Minhogim of the Balei HaTosfos by the Sfardim. That's how they got to peel off Sirchis. But the Sfardim, they never peel off Sirchis. The Sfardim are Machmer, Makben, and Glat Kosher. But when the Rosh came to Spain, he introduced many of the practices of the Balei HaTosfos, including peeling off the Sirchis and many other things also. So when the Rosh came to Spain, he's a new thing that he never saw before when he lived in Germany. The people are wearing talesim that are made from linen. So he said, but this is Machlekes, Bishamay, and Bishilo. And the din is like Bishamay. This is one of the six cases that the Rav Sadia Gaon quoted by the Tosfos in Sukkah. And Rav Gimel Amar Alam says, be paskin like the Bishamay, that you're not permitted to put in tzitzis and the beggar shall pishton. Because in the days of the Tanoim, There were people who were selling imitation chelas, and they made believe that it's real bona fide chelas. It was really kloilin, it was indigo. And they made believe that it was chelas, so it's puzzle. So it's puzzle of chelas. So if you're going to put in chutim of chelas and a begin shal pishton, it's going to be shatnes and shalab b'makam mitzvah. If it's kosher at chelas, so that's a din eser dechalos eser, or it's utra. But if it's puzzle of chelas, because it's kloilin, it's indigo, then you don't have eser dechalos eser. So you're in violation of the eser. Of the Issa Shatnas. So the days of the Tanoim, the Beis Shammai made Xeria that you're not allowed to put in tzitzis at all. Not only you don't put in chelas, two pshatim and tesis, we pass, you don't put tzitzis at all, and the beggar shall pishtan. So he says, how are you talking? How come the Balabatim are putting in tzitzis in a linen garment? So they explained to the Rosh, no, that Xeria only makes sense bisman that chelas was available. So then you're afraid some unscrupulous merchant is going to sell you indigo instead of chelas, and you're going to have an isa shatnas without a heter, because the shalom b'makam mitzvah, there's no heter. But now it's already many generations that we don't have chelas available at all, and all gzeirah derabbanan doesn't apply. So the Rosh said, hey, they're right. I didn't realize it's taki correct. So the Taz is bothered with Akasha. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch Simeches, in Hilchas Tzitzis. The Tur quotes the Tshuva Sarosh. We have it in the volume of Tshuvas HaRosh, but we have it also, the Torah quotes this Tshuva from the Rosh. So the Taz, and so when the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Simeches and Hilchos Tzitzis, the Taz asks the Kasha, what do you mean? Because you live in a generation that Chelis is not available, so the whole concern of maybe you'll fall in with the Kla'ilan doesn't apply, so therefore the Gzeira doesn't apply. The Gemara has a klal called Dovashib Minyan, Tzoch Minyan Achal HaTira. Whenever the Chachamim made an Iser because of a certain consideration, even if you live in a generation, that concern doesn't apply, but the Gzera de Rabbanah still applies. So just because we don't have any Tchelis today, so the Din doesn't apply. So the Taz says that's a good Kasha, and if you read the Tshuva Sarosh carefully, the Rosh was concerned about that Kasha, and the Rosh answered the Kasha. So the Rosh has an extra line in the Tshuva. So what is, if there is an extra line in the Tshuva, well, what did he answer? So the Taz doesn't explain what did the Rosh answer to this question. So that's unclear. So the Mishkan is Yankiv, who was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner from the early Talmidim in Volozhin Yeshiva, Rav Yankel Karlina. He was the rabbi in Karlin. He was a misnagid. He learned the Volozhin, but he had all the stolen Karlina Hasidim lived there. Stolen Karlin are twin cities. If you walk 10 minutes, you go from Stolen to Karlin. So he was the rabbi in Karlin, but he dealt with the stolen Karlin Hasidim. He has several of his tshuvas to attack practices that the Hasidim had. He has a tshuva where he says that the Hasidim are wrong. They insist on using a green esrig. He says the green esrig is puzzle. And the Zohar says you should have an esrig, esrig ha-yorek. Yorek kakarsi means green. Yorek means yellow. Yorek kakarsi is green. Then he has about the Chassidim picked up the practice from the Sfaradim that you put on the Shalyad in a sitting position based on Kabbalah. So he says that's a misunderstanding of the Kabbalah, and he gives you a whole different version. He said nothing wrong with putting on the Shalyad in a standing position. So he has other tshuvas also, attacking certain practices that the Chassidim had. So the Mishkan Es Yankif has the tshuvas that weren't included in the Tshuvas Mishkan Es Yankiv. He published another volume that's called Koheles Yankiv. So half of that sefer is Chidushim al Shas and Seder Moed, and half of the sefer is Tshuvas. So in the first two Tshuvas in Chelek Choshem Mishpat, he develops the following idea based on the Rosh. He said, this is what the Rosh says. It's very unclear in the Tshuvas. This is what the Rosh meant to say. He says, whenever the nature of the mitzvah is Akiras Dovman HaTorah, here, the Chachamim are telling you, we don't allow you to fulfill a mitzvah putting in tzitzis in a beged shel pishtan, because it may fall in, and they'll give you imitation tzitzis, imitation tchelis, kloilon, and you won't have a heter, it'll be klaim shalom makam mitzvah. So this is a gzeira derabbanan, bakiras dov min atayra. So whenever the nature of the gzeira is to be oikera mitzvah min atayra, then you can't say it's a loy plug, then he gives a whole explanation. Then they have to incorporate the Tam HaGzeira into the Nusach HaGzeira. And if you live in a generation where the reason doesn't apply, then the whole Gzeira doesn't apply. Today, though, people are selling. A lot of people are wearing Chelas. So today, the Gzeira will apply back again. But in the days of the Rush, that no one in the world had any chelas, so then the Rush agreed with the argument that they told them in Spain, that since the Tamak Zera doesn't apply, and the Zera is Bakir Dominatera, so that's why the whole Zera doesn't apply, Bisman Azeh. This week said we also have the din of Hafrashas Chala. It says, Bevayachem al Ha'aretz. The Gemara says, all the other mitzvahs Hatliyas Ba'aretz only begin after the first 14 years are up. It took Shevesh Kopshu, took 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael from the Lamed Aleph Malachim, that says in Sefer Yoshua. Then the Gemara has an oral historical tradition that it took Shevesh Chilka, took 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael among the Shvatim, among the Mishpachas, among the Yechidim. And then when it was finally, after 14 years, it was Kolechad V'yechad Makares Chelko. So then the Kedusha Saritz was completed. So that's when the Chiyav Trum Samaisa Shemitah V'yevah Lekin Shikrape, everything begat. As opposed to Chalot, it says, B'vayachem al Ha'aretz, Nischai V'miyad. They were Mechuyav right away, before the 14 years, before the 7 years were up. They were Mechuyav right away in the Hafrash HaSchalot. Many people make a mistake. They think that the mitzvah of Hafrashas Chala only applies if you bake in Chala for Shabbos and Yontif. That is not correct. It applies, it says, eating bread. And many make a mistake. They think it's only bread that you say Hamoitzi, but cake and cookies that you say Bari Mei Mizanis, that's called bread. So that's not correct. If it's cake and cookies that the Gemara says, if you kaveh sud, if you eat a lot of it, if you eat a ton of it, then you have to wash and say Hamoitzi and recite Birchas Hamazon. So that shows that those that cake and cookies is considered lechem. It's a subcategory of lechem. It's what we call pasabah bikisnin. Pas is lechem, so it's a subcategory of lechem. But even cake and cookies is also chayv and challah. People make a mistake. There are kosher bakeries where they're only mafresh challah on the challah that they bake for Shabbos and Yom Tov. They're not mafresh challah on bread for the weekdays. That's a major mistake. The word challah in biblical Hebrew means raw dough. It doesn't mean what we call challah. Doesn't at all mean what we call challah. And it's beferish and mishnayis that cake and cookies are chayv in afrashas challah. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos.
Rebbe?
Yes?
I was listening to one of your previous shiurim on Shabbos, and you were talking about the proper way to hold your tzitzis when you're saying Shema, but yeah. It was only audio, not video. So is there any way you can show exactly what you were talking about? I wasn't completely clear what you were saying. You were saying you hold the front two, but not the back two. Is that what I understood correctly?
Right. That's what the Vilna Goyen points out, that you're supposed to have the tzitzis around you, mesubav b'mitzvahs. So he says that if you want to hold on to the tzitzis, Shulchan Aruch says you hold on to the two in the front, but the two that are in the back, those you shouldn't pull all four together, because then it's not the correct way to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzis. You're supposed to have two in the front and two in the back.
That even if you're wearing Arba Kanfos and your talis, you should still
keep it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just wasn't clear about that. Thank you, Rebbe.
Correct. Very good.
Rabbi, off topic. Can a Summa have an Aliyah LaTorah?
In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rush was of the opinion that the Oyla, in the days of the Gemara, the one who got the Aliyah would lane himself. And then in the days of the Goyim, they instituted the practice of having a Balkore, because Kadesh Lo Levayesh is Misheni Yodea. Some people will know how to lane with the Trup and the Iver, and others will kill the Aliyah. So we're going to keep on correcting the guy. So some people will be able to lane their own Aliyah, some not. So no, the Kadesh Lo Levayesh is Misheni Yodea. So they made a practice, nobody lanes his own aliyah. Everybody has the Baltoi lane for him. So the Rosh says, but the Ikar Din should be observed. The one who gets the aliyah should lane along. So according to the Rosh, if a person is blind and he can't read, you shouldn't give him an aliyah. That's what it should come out. Shailaf and Abrachal Baltoi, if you get an aliyah and you don't lane at all. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Binyamin Zev, that's a Tshuva Sefer, after the days of the Ramah. He says the Binyamin Zev himself was a blind. And his tshuvas were dictated. He wasn't able to see, so he didn't write. So his tshuvas were dictated. So one of the tshuvas is that you can give an aliyah to a blind person, even though he can't read from the sefer, because Mikra Adin, it's only a chumrah, what the Rosh said, you should lay in alone. Mikra Adin, we rely on Shemei Kohenah. The Oil of the Torah says the bracha and the Malkari says the laning. So Yotze, which a Mekoin is considered as if the Oil of the Torah lay. So he says that he can, blind men can get an aliyah. So that's a shout. If a blind man can get an aliyah, he doesn't have to read along. So what does he have to bother to walk up to the shulchan? Let him stand up where his seat is. His seat is in the fourth row in the shul. Let him stand up and say, Baruch Hashem Amor. So we don't do that. We insist he should walk up all the way up to the front and stand at least next to the Sefer Torah, even though he's not able to read from the Sefer Torah. So that was a shaila now in the last year, when the beginning of this COVID pandemic, people were concerned about transmitting the sickness. So in a lot of shuls, they didn't give people aliyahs. They didn't walk up. Maybe they can stand where they are and get an aliyah, and the Balkari will do the laning. So we really don't allow that. Mishum covered up. Even though we have the Balkari do all the laning, and the Oil of Latar is not reading at all, but still, he has to walk up, at least stand next to the Sefer Torah. We don't allow him to say the bracha where his seat is. So that's why in the course, in many of the shuls, they had the Balkari got all the seven aliyahs. It says in the Tosefta like that. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. In the days of the Tanoim, they didn't have this institution of having a Balkari. Whoever got the aliyah would lane. So what do you do if there's only one person in the shul who knows how to lane? So he gets all the seven aliyahs. Shouldn't make hoysafis. If the Balkari is getting all the seven aliyahs, he shouldn't make hoysafis. So by us, we always have mafter is a hoysafim. Mikar Adin, the Rabbeinu Tam, the Tosis says like this. There's a machlokes in the Gemara, machlokes in the Rishonim had a paskin. So we really followed the Rabbeinu Tam. Mikar Adin, we paskin. After the Zoyla, the Minyan Akruim. On Shabbos, you need seven aliyahs, means six aliyahs. The seventh aliyah is the maftir. The seventh aliyah is the maftir. We give seven aliyahs, then we say Chatzi Kaddish, then we give Maftir, we're making a hoysofa. When we give Maftir the eighth aliyah, that's already a hoysofa, strictly speaking. So if you have eight different people, seven people are getting aliyahs, and then an eighth person is getting Maftir, okay. So you're sharing the wealth, you're making a hoysofa. But if the Balkari is getting all the seven aliyahs because they're afraid to give other people aliyahs, they may transmit the sickness from one to the other. So why should you give him eight aliyahs? It's bad enough that one person is getting seven aliyahs. Saying the bracha before and after is getting all the seven. So then you shouldn't say chatzi kaddish after shvi, and then give maftir to the balkari. You should give the seventh aliyah should be the maftir, and he should say the haftorah. And after he says the haftorah, then you say the chatzi kaddish. We say chatzi kaddish in between the finish. The completion of the Parshas HaShavua and the laning of the Hoysofa, because we really finished the whole Kriya Sater. But if you're not going to have Maftir as a separate aliyah, going to have Tshvi is going to be the Maftir, then the Mogen Avraham writes, in such a situation, you don't say Chatzi Kaddish in between the Kriya of the Shvi and Haftorah. You save the Chatzi Kaddish the left of the Birchas Haftorah Shalach Rehom. But that's what they did in a lot of shuls. The Balkari got all the seven aliyahs. And it didn't say the Chatzi Kaddish till after he finished the bracha. And every week he got all the seven aliyahs. And every week he got maftir. And every week he would say the Chatzi Kaddish after the Birchas HaTorah Shel Achreha.
So now, gave up his question about a suma, what would be the bottom line?
Bottom line says in Shulchan Aruch that we permit, they quote the Chuvas Ben Yom Zeh, we permit a suma to get an aliyah, even though he's not able to lane along. But we insist he should walk up to the bima. He shouldn't stand where he is and say the bracha, and the Balkari is going to lane over there. At least he should walk up to the Sefer Torah. He should walk over to the Sefer Torah. In a shul, they say, based on the Zohar, in a shul, the Kriya Sadar should be on an elevated platform. Zecha L'Maimon Hasina. The Torah was given on top of the mountain. In a Beis HaMedrash, in Yeshiva, in the Beis HaMedrash, so we consider the old Beis Medrash is on top of the mountain because the old Beis Medrash is miyuchad for learning. In the shul, the Beis HaKnesses is miyuchad for davening. So you have to have an elevated platform. That platform, that's the top of Har Sinai. Zeichel Har Sinai, that's miyuchad for learning. But in Beis Medrash, the old Beis Medrash is considered on top of the mountain. So then you don't need an elevated platform. You should have something elevated in front of the Aron Kodesh so that when they call him duchen, the duchen means a platform. Some Achronim hold that Aliyah Leduchen is some Svardish Achronim hold Ashkenazi Achranim, nobody holds like this. By the Sfardim, some of the Sfardish Achranim hold that if the Kohanim are not standing on an elevated platform, they can't recite the Birchas Kohanim. So you have to have an elevated platform. I remember many years ago, we spent one summer in Beit Vegan. They used to daven a lot in Yeshiva Kol Torah. This was 35 years ago, a long time ago. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was still alive. So there was a platform in front of the Yaron Kodesh, and there were a lot of Kohanim. So first the Sfardim would walk up on the platform, and then there'd be a little bit of room left. So two or three Ashkenazim would walk up also. The Ashkenazim didn't walk up first, because the Ashkenazim, nobody holds that it's Ma'akeh B'diyev. L'chatchila, it should be a platform. But since some Sfardish had post come out that it's Ma'akeh B'diyev, so first they let all the Sfardim walk up on the platform. Then a few Ashkenazim, there was room for a few, so they also stood on the platform. It was eingeführt in the yeshiva.
May I make a couple of comments and a question?
Sure.
Okay, first, interesting, Rav Ralbag from the Young Israel of Avenue K Paskin also, that the people either had to have an aliyah, and we had a plastic separation, or the Baal Kriya did all the aliyahs. That's how we actually started, just the Baal Kriya lane. Uh-huh. So that's one comment. So that supports what the Rav was saying. Three of my uncles, the Walker boys, went to Solanta Yeshiva way back when, and I also went to Solanta Yeshiva when it was on Webster Avenue with Rabbi Pearl as the principal. Yeah. But I then shortly moved to Far Rockaway, so that was the end of that. But it was a very interesting yeshiva. You know, they had I think it was more like a Litvisha place.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, and the question.
Some of the rabbis spoke Yiddish. Some of the rabbis spoke Yiddish, yeah.
By the time I went in 1960, they were speaking English. Question. Rav Herzog's research, wasn't that based on some archaeology also? On the Chilazon, Rav Herzog's research.
Was it based on archaeology? I don't know. He just discusses what could the Chalazon possibly be? So he narrows it down. And then because his conclusion is based on erroneous information, he came to the conclusion that it's not blue, it's rather purple, which is not correct, because it's supposed to be the same color as indigo. Because otherwise, how could they fool the customers into believing that this is Trelis? If it's Kloilin is indigo and Trelis is purple. So the curator of some museum in Paris sent Rav Herzog a letter that a certain dye, what he thought should be what they use now, that dye is not lasting. That'll fade. So based on that, so he assumed that what they assume now is the Chalazon can't be the Chalazon, because it has to be a lasting color. And then, at the end of the last couple of pages of his doctoral dissertation, he came up with this idea. It's a different mollusk that has a purple color. But really, it's not correct. The misinformation was that the dye from this, what they consider now the Chalazon, is a lasting dye. It doesn't fade. So that's what the trellis that they use now is what Rav Herzog suggested and backs out at the end based on the misinformation that they sent them from Paris. So that's what they use now. There was one professor, Zideman, I forgot his name. He was pushing that we should use the purple, like Rav Herzog suggested. But it wasn't accepted, so he stopped. So he joined, he joined like everybody else. I think his children are trying to raise these mollusks, that it should be less expensive. So they're trying to have a whole... grow them so to make trailers more available.
Maybe I've watched my sisters in trailers and bleach many times, and they have not faded at all.
Right. That's what Rabbi Tendler said. You can soak it in bleach for a couple of days and the color will not fade. Yeah. Yeah, the meaning is that you have a white beged for tzitzis. So there are different reasons why. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Achrayim, we don't make colors, but the black stripe you have, Zecher L'Tcheilus. Why is black Zecher L'Tcheilus? That's like Rashi and Chumash says. That Tcheilus is the color of the sky at midnight. That the color of the sky at midnight is basically black. and others, instead of having a black stripe, will have a blue stripe, because they assume that, like Rashi on Chumash, that it's a blue, like the Rambam, it's the color of blue in the afternoon, the color of the blue sky in the afternoon. Shaila, what color was it? Okay, I got to run. Everyone should have a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Thank you.